Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Next Fan Up. I am Pod Vader. You're going to hear more of the Superfans. This is part two of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, picks 1 through 16. Feel free to go and listen to those right now if you haven't listened to them already. You can hear us on iTunes or at blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. Part two, this is 17 to 32, plus a few extra at the end, which we tagged on because those folks either traded out of the first round or didn't have a first round pick. Let's get right to it. Less talk from me, more talk from the super fan.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
All right, with the first pick in our second half of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, it's pick number 17 overall. It's the San Diego Chargers. Superfan Ken Priest, starting with the big sexies, it's center offensive lineman out of Florida State, Cam Irving.
Yeah, so obviously taking a center in round one isn't the sexiest pick in the world. But if you watched the Chargers last year, you'd know that there was a revolving door at the center position, and it just absolutely killed us. Losing Nick Hardwick to retirement was a huge blow to the team, and although the Bolts currently have Chris Watt, a fifth-round pick from last year, coming back from injury, who played decently well at the center position, I wanted to get a guy with a little more talent than Chris Watt that could anchor the middle of the offensive line for years to come.
So, any thought at all about – I'm sorry. Any thought at all about going defense here?
No, not really. I'm pretty happy with the defense overall. It's definitely something that I'm going to look at in the later rounds, but with the first round I was targeting player available – on offense, and I looked at Cam Irving in the same mold as the other offensive linemen who are still on the board. But I liked his versatility considering he did play left tackle at an all ACC level when Florida State won its national championship. And I liked that versatility.
Now, we've talked quite a bit previously during this offseason on our Next Fan Up podcast, which you can get now at iTunes or check us out, blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup, about the whole situation with the Chargers, L.A., Phillip Rivers. Now there's these crazy rumors of Phillip Rivers to the Tennessee Titans. What would you end up doing there? My guess is you're not buying any of this talk. You just think it's the regular mumbo jumbo, or am I wrong?
I do think it's the regular mumbo jumbo. I would be shocked if Rivers was gone on draft day. Tom Telesco is actually, while we're recording this, is having a press conference, and I was reading on Twitter right before I came on, and the first thing he came out and said was, I know half of you guys are here for a Phillip Rivers update, and there isn't one. He's still our quarterback, and he is in our plans for the future. So that makes me feel a little bit better.
All right. Well, there you have it. There's the San Diego Superchargers taking Cam Irving, addressing a need at center. Ken, I'm sure we'll talk to you again later down the season.
Absolutely. Have a good one, Pod.
Coming up next here in the Superfan Supermock Draft at number 18, the Kansas City Chiefs Superfan Nick Clayton has chosen the offensive tackle out of LSU, Lael Collins. Nick, tell me about him.
Well, he's one of the highest-rated pass-blocking tackles in this draft, and he's got the big size that I know Andy Reid likes. But basically, where the Chiefs are at this pick, there really is a lot of good options for them, and I think there will be on draft day. Really, I think the priority for the Chiefs is getting a piece to continue the reconstruction of their offensive line and their wide receiving core. And there's a lot of options at both of those spots here and on basically every mock draft I've ever seen. The priority for me, I think, is getting another really good talented player on that line. I think by shoring up the right side, the right tackle spot, perhaps we can kick in Donald Stevenson to the right guard spot, which would leave the only real question mark at center, which is something I think could be addressed easily at a later round or with a pretty cheap free agent pickup. I think the biggest thing they've done that allowed for this to be the key move here is the trade for Ben Grubbs. You know, we had the first overall pick of Eric Fisher before. He's been sort of up and down, but then especially last year, he didn't grade out real well on a lot of evaluators' lists. But that was large part due to the fact that the left guard, Mike McGlynn, that he was playing next to, was rated as one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive linemen in the league. And so when you're trying to block next to a guy who is literally falling down on the job constantly, it's really difficult to get an evaluation there. So I think by getting in Grubbs, I think we help out Fisher in his development. By getting a nice, good piece on the right tackle side, I think we're pretty well, we're well situated there on the line. And that then frees up the Chiefs to then pursue whatever prospects they like the best going forward in the draft, primarily a wide receiver.
I was going to say, I'm a little surprised. I mean, you still have Dorrell Green Beckham, Jalen Strong, Breshad Perriman. Still have plenty of great options at wide receivers. Your thought that you can still just get another guy in the next round or later?
There's still a lot of guys, I think, that are going to be very good, that are going to be available in the middle of the second round. We'll see. I mean, a lot of the talk now is Philip Dorsett is moving up, and he's a guy who I think is perfect for Reed's system. So, you know, he may be a pick there if they think he's not going to last all the way to them in the second round. But I mean, I think guys like Devin Smith are going to be there. Aguilar will likely be around. And there's a lot of mid-range guys too. And I mean, I think the Chiefs have a couple of young players as well that are developing that position. I think they need one more solid guy, but I'm not too worried about them passing on a wide receiver in the first. I think the line is going to be the long-term priority.
So this might be a little controversial, but was there any thought at all about maybe Melvin Gordon, who is still available in IR version of the mock draft?
Not really. That wasn't something I considered. I was just because there's such a wealth of talent at the O-line and the wide receiver positions. I mean, I was sort of looking at this as best player available, but there was still enough at that position that is the best out of those two groupings. Although I would have considered if one of the top quarterbacks would have dropped, I even considered Landon Collins at this spot.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll be talking to you again later on down the season.
All right. Look forward to it.
So we're back here at pick number 19 with the Cleveland Browns. Rob Kohler is the super fan. We talked to you in the first half of the Super Mock Draft at number 12, where you picked an outside linebacker, so you didn't address any of the needs on offense, and you stay on the defensive side of the ball, which I think is a little bit of a surprise here. Texas defensive tackle Malcolm Brown.
Yeah, I think it would be a surprise, but the way I think about how the Browns should handle this draft and free agency just in the future is to really build up their defense, especially playing in the AFC North, where everybody has a very, very strong defense. The Browns do not. The Browns were 32nd against the run last year, and that was a big, big problem for them. They could get a lead, and then they would lose it because their defense just couldn't hold anybody out of the end zone. So I think that my way of looking at it is that I look at it like a money ball situation in baseball, where are you going to get the best value for your picks or in your free agents? And if you don't have a quarterback in this league, then you're in big trouble, and there's only a couple of them. So if you don't have that, stick to the running game and build up a really, really, really strong defense. And you can compete that way. You know, some of the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls in the past, you could name, you know, a couple of the Washington Redskins quarterbacks that weren't very good. You had, you know, Trent Dilfer from Tampa Bay. You could name a couple of those. And what they did was they built up their defense and had enough to be able to sustain themselves on the offensive end by just running the ball down people's throats. And so if you can go that way and really build your value around your defense, that's the way I think you could go. There's only, like I said, there's only a certain amount of quarterbacks within the league that are going to be able to take you to the promised land. And I don't think that the Browns have that at this time. And I don't think they're going to be able to get it in this draft at the number 12 pick or the number 19 pick.
So was there any thought about packaging those two picks to move up? I mean, I know in this particular scenario, the two top quarterbacks went 1-2, but yes, in most likelihood, they're not going to go 1-2 when the real draft happens on Thursday.
I totally agree. And I think that if they could move up to get that one, number one pick with it, I would take Jameis Winston. I watch a lot of college football, and coming from a pro style offense, I think that he could be the guy. Marcus Mariota, while I graduated from a Pac-12 school and I would be a Pac-12 homer for him, I don't see him being, he has a lot more to learn, and the way that the Browns have been able to grow their quarterbacks has not been very good. So I wouldn't have faith in them to do that. But then again, this year, you know, some of it has to do with political reasons, where you pick Johnny Manziel in the first round last year and you go back again and pick a first round quarterback. I think sometimes you think you maybe just be spinning your wheels. So at this point, stick with what you got. Take the value and go defense, and even I would go defense in the second round as well, and then look for a quarterback later in the second or third round. Quarterbacks that are coming up, I think, would be just as good value wise once you can get to them, and I think they would fall to the Browns in the third round. Somebody like a Bryce Petty, or even the kid from Colorado State. Either of those guys I would take, and then work with them for a year or two, and then put them into the system.
I don't disagree with you on the quarterback position at all in terms of the depth in this particular draft. Although I do find it interesting, you trade one head case in Johnny Manziel for another guy who's arguably a head case in Jameis Winston. Well, that's a whole other story we could do a whole other podcast on.
Yeah. The Johnny Manziel he was a product of his system and having Mike Evans on his team, which everybody sees now. But I think that Winston, you can see how he's a leader, at least to his teammates on the field, and not losing all those games and being able to just hit his number one, number two, or even third read. He really has shown that he could be a great pro, I think.
I am curious why you're not addressing any of your other offensive positions, though.
Well, I think that the two guys that they have at running back now are fairly decent, and they showed themselves, I mean, each getting about over 700 yards last year. So combined, they're, you know, pretty good running back crew there. One got injured, so that's worrisome. But then the offensive line is pretty solid. A couple of Pro Bowlers on that side already. And then the receivers that they have, they signed. I think Dwayne Bowe without Alex Smith is going to be a lot better. Alex Smith has a lot of passes that he cannot do, and that's what they take out of the playbook. I remember reading about that with Jim Harbaugh. They took a whole bunch of stuff out of the playbook because he just can't make those throws. I think that somebody like Josh McCown, who's got an arm, can make those throws that Dwayne Bowe can go and get. So I'd like to see what he can do with the Browns. And then Brian Hartline's just your good, solid, kind of over-the-middle receiver. So those are all kind of decent. You get so worried about the defense when they're 32nd against the run and then 27th in sacks. I mean, they're way down there. They've got to really bring that up. So that's where the area of need is.
All right. Fair enough. Rob, thanks. We'll talk to you later on down the season.
All right. Thank you.
Coming up now at pick number 20, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Mark Sitko is the super fan, and you have picked your position of need, that being safety. It's Alabama's Landon Collins.
Yes, I really like Landon Collins a lot. I'm going to get a lot of grief for this pick. He was, coming out the gate, he was the popular pick on most mock drafts, I think just because it lines so nicely with our needs. Since then, there's been a lot of analysis that's come out that says that he won't be a target simply because he's a safety that isn't as versatile as the Eagles would like both of their safeties to be. I don't think this is true, personally. I understand that philosophy. I understand getting two safeties that can do it all, that can cover deep, cover single high safety if they need to, also come down. They can cover one-on-one in the slot. Like, I get it. We want somebody who can do all those things. Having a team that has both of those things, like two safeties that can do that, I don't know if that exists. I like Landon Collins a lot. I think he's one of the few safeties in this draft that can come in and start right away. I don't see any other safety in this draft able to do that. And so for that alone, I'm interested. I see him playing a similar role to Cam Chancellor. We run a 3-4. I'd like to be aggressive like that. He obviously would not have the other pieces around him that Cam does out there in Seattle. But still, I like the player a lot. I think it's a place of need. We're right at the edge of that shelf in the first round where soon all of the best talent is not there. And we're really coming to the top of the second round, even though we're still only at pick 20. I think in talent-wise, we're turning that corner.
Gotcha. What do you think is the next spot that the Eagles need to focus on as the draft progresses?
I think the two other big glaring needs are some help on the offensive line. We lost Harriman's at right guard, so a guard would be really nice. somebody who could eventually kick out to tackle and compete with Lane Johnson for the left tackle spot or become the right tackle when Lane kicks over. The other thing is clearly wide receiver. Losing Macklin, I think that, you know, we would really like a wide receiver. Unfortunately, I think at this spot in the draft, I don't think there was a wide receiver that was worthy of that pick. I see Dorial Green-Beckham, but I just think it's a little risky at 20. Jalen Strong I like, but I think it's also a little early for. The one that I would consider is Breshad Perriman, but I just, you know, I don't know if I'm ready once again to take that shot there. But I think they're going to pick up a wide receiver in the second or third round with, for sure, possibly two by the time of the end of the day. And then looking at, I think there's guarding tackles the whole way through. I really like that this pick, if I was going to go any other way, it might be TJ Cummings. But moving forward, I think there's a lot of guards and tackles we can pick up later in the draft.
How are you hoping that the draft falls down for you? Is there anybody else that you're hoping may land in your lap in the next rounds?
I would love any of those two positions, like one of the top wide receivers to fall. There's so many wide receivers, I think, at least close to nine that I really like in this draft. As a top first or second round pick, I just don't know if they're going to last to us in the second round. So that's my worry. I think that's my biggest risk here, is by taking my safety first, have I basically taken myself out of contention for a starting wide receiver? And I don't know if that's true. We'll see. But there's, like I said, I think there's about nine of them that I like. About three or four are gone so far, so I would take my chances that one of them will fall there.
Awesome. All right, Mark, thanks a lot. We'll certainly be hearing more of you as the season progresses, as you're one of our schedulers here with Superfans.
Stepping it often when people cannot. I will be there. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It should be a crazy season for the Eagles as is. So, yeah, I mean, we will see what this offense shapes up to be in the fall. I don't even know what to expect. We'll see how it goes.
At pick number 21, we have the Cincinnati Bengals. That's our good friend from across the pond, English Simon. He's their super fan. You end up picking Eric Flowers, offensive tackle out of Miami. But wait, there's a trade. I'm being handed a trade card here, English Simon. What's going on?
So I made the pick, Eric Flowers, offensive tackle from the U. But within, you know, whatever time was determined, I was offered a very good trade offer from the Denver Broncos for said player.
All right. Well, what is the let me know the trade, and then I will talk with our Denver Broncos superfan, Lewis.
So I swapped first-round player, Eric Flowers, for the Denver Broncos' 28th pick overall, I believe, and also a third-round selection.
This sounds like a brilliant move by you. We'll talk to you again in just a moment at pick number 28. Right now I'm going to talk with the Denver Broncos superfan. And now we are joined by that Broncos superfan. Oh, no, we're not. English Simon, you're still here with me. What was the sense you were getting from our Broncos superfan when this trade went down?
I sensed that he was desperate for a tackle when he first sort of mentioned the trade to me, because there were quite a few on the board, and I think he knew that a few of the guys after me were in the market, and as was I, obviously. But so he had a guy in mind, and that guy was available at 21, and he made me an offer. We had a little negotiation, and then we decided that we'd swap first round picks. I'd pick up a third round pick, and he would make the pick of Eric Flowers, defensive tackle out of Miami.
It's interesting, because I don't know if that's necessarily the move if I'm a Broncos fan, I'd want to see my team make. It seems like it definitely cost them quite a bit to get that one player. And considering the way that the draft turned out, I mean, there's definitely other offensive linemen available. I don't know. To me, this worked out great for you, but I don't know how much, if I'm a Broncos fan, I'm a fan of this move.
Yeah, I kind of felt like, like I said, that the flurry of players on the way to the tackles kind of, you know, sped up the process. And also, bear in mind, you know, with Peyton Manning and the need for a right tackle, and then being in win now mode, I think that kind of sped up the process slightly and made the decision to get rid of a third round pick that much easier. So I can understand why the deal was made, but like you, I think patience sometimes is the best move to make there.
Well, I think you pulled the trigger on a trade that was great for the Bengals, not so good for the Broncos. We'll see how things actually play out on Thursday. Meanwhile, I will continue to commend you later on in this draft.
I look forward to it.
And now here at pick number 22, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their super fan, Greg Feltinovich. I mispronounced your last name. I always do, don't I?
Everybody does. So don't worry about it.
Let's see here. Mel Kiper has listed as your biggest prospects or top needs, sorry, cornerback, safety, offense, outside linebacker, and tight end. But you, sir, have gone off the board with an offensive tackle out of Pittsburgh, TJ Clemmings. What is your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that how this draft went, there are no safeties or tight ends to really draft. I mean, there was one safety, I guess, and that was Collins out of LSU. And the pass rushers flew off the board. I think the top four or five guys went off the board real quick. So I went offensive tackle out of Pitt because, first off, I'm a Pitt alum, so you got to draft the Pitt player when he's there and worthy of it. But the second is he's pretty raw, and I really think with Mike Munchak, we're going to be able to build a really solid offensive line. Because heading into next offseason, both Mike Adams, our backup tackle, and Calvin Beecham, our starting left tackle, are free agents. So since there was no positions of need that really fit up with best player available, I just went with what could be a need next year.
All right. Well, that's fair enough, I suppose. So you didn't see a lot of value left in the pass rushers. Obviously, I would agree. You're not taking a safety or a tight end at this point in the draft. Really, the only other position to consider would be corner. Now, we know a little later on the Cowboys are going to take one in Marcus Peters. Oops. Sorry, folks. I just gave that away. Any thought at all about the cornerback position?
Peters was intriguing there, but he's got that sketchy history. And the Steelers have lost a lot of leadership recently. And I thought maybe there'd be better value with the offensive lineman now and the corners. There's supposedly a lot of corners that are playable or, you know, good quality in the second and third rounds. So I'm just kind of hoping they go that way.
So we've mentioned the positions of need. Is there any particular player you're hoping your team ends up with in these later rounds?
I really like the cornerback Alex Carter out of Stanford. I really hope he ends up being a second or third round pick with the Steelers. I think that'd be pretty awesome. He's a big corner, and they seem to like Stanford players. So, and he's also, the most important part is they seem to draft juniors for whatever reason. So.
All right. Well, week one, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers versus my New England Patriots. I already told you off the air. I've got it checked off as an L for the New England Patriots. I don't feel all that confident going into week one. And I mean, it is only April, but those are my thoughts.
Well, there's no Doobie Brothers for the game. No Bell, no Blunt. So, I mean, I think that's our favorite Patriots. So.
That's pretty good. All right, Greg. Well, I know I will have to talk to you again down the road this season. Good job, and talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, bud.
All right. It's pick number 23, the Detroit Lions. Superfan Adam Bring It All is on with us. The Lions, arguably their number one position of need is offensive line, and you have gone with Stanford offensive tackle Andrus Peat. One could argue you can't go wrong with a Stanford offensive tackle.
I can't disagree with you, Jay. I love Peat's upside as a potential left tackle of the future. We have Riley Reiff, who has been solid. You know, I heard a projection when we drafted him is he could have a very Jeff Backus-like career, as in not great, but you can put him there and not worry about it too much for the next 10 years. It's all well and good, but if we can get a left tackle at 23, move reef either inside or to the right side, then can't go wrong.
Was there any thought? I mean, there was a big run of offensive tackles here on our second half, starting with our, starting with our number one pick today at the San Diego Chargers. I mean, pretty much, we had the Browns and the Eagles. So there were only two teams that didn't go with offensive linemen. Any thought to any other position here?
Not especially. Of course, you know, I got to look at D tackle because of Sue and Fairley being gone. But I love the way they're building the defense right now as far as versatility goes. There was a big kerfuffle, if you will, when they shipped Sue and Fairley out of the Lions going to a 3-4 instead of the traditional 4-3 we've ran. And they never committed to it. And then you look at the personnel they picked up when they got Nada, the gentleman, I apologize, I forget his name now, that we picked up from the Saints, very versatile D tackle, can also bump outside to D end. They're just looking for versatile guys. I'm sorry?
Tyron Walker. Other addition on the D line.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to kick myself for forgetting that one. They're just looking for versatility. They can use Nada as a big space eater, and they can use Walker as a penetrator that works. So I think we can look a little bit later in the draft for those guys if necessary. If not, I like the personnel we have too. I have a lot of faith in Caron Reed too. Fifth round pick last year out of Princeton. He showed some good stuff, didn't get a whole lot of playing time. But if we recall back to our last year Superfan mock, I took him in the fourth because I was really excited about him, and the Lions got him in real life in the fifth. So I think he could be a good third rotational guy. But back to the O-line, Pete can hold down the left side most likely and gives us a little bit of versatility with Reef, which it turns out after recent developments we're going to need, being that we now have one guard on our roster. So if I had to do it again, I think I'd still take Pete. And oddly enough, my two guys that I were looking at offensive line wise were Pete and DJ Humphreys out of Florida. And they both were still on the board at this time. So it was good stuff.
Hard to argue that offensive line is definitely one of your biggest positions in need at this moment. But was there any thought, are you concerned at all about the health of your star wide receiver, Calvin Johnson?
Yes, I'm terrified, actually. You look at the contract that we gave him just recently, and there is going to come a day that I am not looking forward to, that his production is not going to match that contract. He's getting a lot of money, which is fine because he's Superman right now. He's an absolute monster. He's Megatron. But once that production starts to dip, you cannot afford to give a subpar wide receiver, a guy who is not elite, that kind of money. And I'm just I'm scared, but I don't want to invest any more in that position at the time.
All right. Fair enough. That's your Detroit Lions, ladies and gentlemen. We'll hear more from you as the season progresses, Adam.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Jay.
All right. At pick number 24, it's the Arizona Cardinals. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have an Arizona Cardinals super fan. So if you are interested in joining us on this great adventure, please send us your application to nextfanup@gmail.com. That's nextfanup@gmail.com. We're looking for an Arizona Cardinals super fan. So when we don't have a super fan making a pick, we sort of do this as consensus, and I am now joined again by Adam, our Lions superfan, and English Simon, our Bengals superfan. You guys picked right around in this area. Ultimately, the consensus pick here for the Cardinals was running back out of Wisconsin, Melvin Gordon. I'm not so sure how I feel about running back here to the Cardinals. Which one of you guys wants to take the ball here and roll with it?
Well, I first of all, Melvin Gordon's a heck of a player. I mean, the guy's a monster. I absolutely think he's going to be successful at the next level. That's not in doubt. And he's going to get plenty of opportunities in Arizona, given their current depth chart situation. Some of their other needs, so you're looking at inside linebacker and you're looking at pass rusher. I personally would have looked at either Eric Kendricks out of UCLA or Olamide Adeguizua as a big kind of versatile defensive end rush guy that could. Well, thank you. You're a gentleman and a scholar. Also, Byron Jones would kind of fit the mold of the defensive back, you know, the Patrick Peterson, not quite his cover skills, but, you know, the physical freak. You can put him at safety. You can put him at corner, kind of a Cromartie doppelganger that could up and still allow Matthew to roam the center. What do you guys think?
I can't disagree at all with that. I guess the reason why we made this pick as a group is that I think that offense is quite potent. The one thing they miss is a consistent running threat. I think Andre Ellington's proved that he is a capable player, but he's not been durable. I don't think he's also a between tackles type of guy. So in that regard, a player of that quality, I understand it, but I do think inside linebacker, some sort of pass rush help, and also potentially secondary was definitely a potential area for this team. But that said, you can never have too many good players. Melvin Gordon is a good player. So that's why I think we made a pick. And, hey, we move on, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spend too much time here because all three of us, none of us really have direct contact with the Arizona Cardinals that much, considering the teams that are our favorites. I will say that, you know, there is that little thing about Wisconsin running backs that they don't tend to work out the way that most people hope that they do. I agree with everything that has been said, though. Andre Ellington's not an every down running back. Melvin Gordon does appear to fit the bill a little bit. I would think Bruce Arians would maybe focus a little bit on the offensive line, although in our mock draft, offensive line has just been decimated here in the last few picks. Wide receiver, I don't think, is necessarily an area that the Cardinals need to worry about. Maybe looking at the inside linebacker. I do like the idea of Eric Kendricks here, Adam. So, I mean, the Cardinals, we don't have a super fan, and that's why we need you. NextFanUp@gmail.com. Send in your application and join us. It's that simple. Guys, thanks for helping out.
Thank you, Jay.
See you soon.
All right, at pick number 25, we're on the Carolina Panthers. We're joined by superfan Jimmy Six. I mentioned earlier with the Arizona Cardinals, there's been a huge run on offensive line, which could possibly be one of your biggest needs. But you end up getting a nice wide receiver here, although some say he may have some red flags on him. It's Missouri's wide receiver, Doriel Green Beckham.
Hey, yeah. The pick, Doriel Green Beckham, not my favorite pick, but the way the tackles went off the board those last several picks really hurt what I wanted to go there. And at the tackle position, there wasn't anything there the first round that I really wanted to get. And so with that pick, I thought about either Doriel Green Beckham, Jalen Strong, or even the cornerback Kevin Johnson. I decided to swing for the fences here and go with Doriel Green Beckham.
Nice. So was there any thought about any other positions besides wide receiver? You mentioned Green Beckham's not exactly your favorite pick. What ultimately made you swing to the wide receiver?
Well, my first area of target was going to be tackle. And another player I was looking at was Jake Fisher. And I just thought maybe I might be able to swing a move in the second round to get him. So I decided to hold off with Jake Fisher, and then at the wide receiver position, it was either Jalen Strong or Doriel Green Beckham. Out of the two, I thought I could swing for defenses. And, the other position of me, I thought would be addressing the secondary for Carolina, and Kevin Johnson out of Wake Forest. I like as an immediate impact player, but, I kind of wanted to get a big name, and I just feel like Carolina has lost a little of the edgy character, whether Steve Smith is gone and Greg Hardy, I thought maybe adding an extreme character guy might just make things a little interesting in the locker room. Not saying interesting in a bad way, but just feel like chemistry in the locker room is created in all sorts of different ways. And I really think Carolina has a unique situation in the locker room, especially with the way they've handled Cam Newton coming out. He had a couple red flags, and I thought they've done a great job making him the centerpiece and keeping him low key. And I think Carolina can do that with a couple other high character guys.
All right. Well, that's your Carolina Panthers pick, ladies and gentlemen. That's Jimmy Six. We'll be talking to you further down the road.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. King of the South.
All right, we're at pick number 26, the Baltimore Ravens. King of the Superfans, Rex Fisher, represents the Baltimore Ravens. The biggest need is been wide receiver, and you got one in Arizona State's Jalen Strong.
Yes, I did, Pod Vader. What is up?
Oh, not too much, my friend. Now, Jalen Strong ends up being your pick, but I just finished speaking with Jimmy Six, who took Dorial Green-Beckham. Did you have a preference between the two?
Well, Dorial Green-Beckham definitely has the size and weight, and at the combine, he really showed good hands, but he has character concerns with Oz. And after the year the Ravens had, and Ozzy making his pronouncement about a month and 6 weeks ago saying that anybody with domestic violence issues are probably off their board, I doubt they would draft him even if it came to the seventh round. Because if they did, then he would have to answer questions about that.
All right. Now, we talked off the air. Wide receiver is definitely the biggest need. So my guess is you're extremely happy with getting the pick that you did. But was there any consideration to another position?
For me, no. As a matter of fact, I think the wide receiver is such a need for the Ravens. I could envision Ozzie Newsome taking one of the 10 picks we have. There's no way 10 rookies are making this team. And I could see him packaging up a couple picks to move up, you know, 6-7 picks in the draft, to whether it be grab a Jalen Strong, Rashad Perryman, or even a Devontae Parker if he somehow falls past 10.
You think now the way that the Superfan mock draft ends up working out, our guys are taking the guys that they want their team to pick. Do you think the draft is going to fall this way on Thursday?
I don't know. I haven't heard the I know that Jalen Strong had a medical issue with his wrist, and I haven't heard anything more about that. Before that, in almost every mock draft I saw, he was gone before the Ravens pick, and they wound up having to go with a outside linebacker or a cornerback. Now, that is completely Ozzie's MO to build with defense and stuff like that. I just really think that if one of those top receivers, the three that I named, fall to the Ravens, I can't see how Ozzie cannot make this pick. The Ravens, in their 20-year history, have not had a true number one receiver. They've always had good twos and threes, never a true number one. That needs to come to an end.
Nice. Any other guys that you're looking forward to as the rounds progress?
I wouldn't mind seeing, as you know, Elvis Dumervil and Terrell Suggs are both getting up there in age, and the Ravens definitely have to find some edge guys, because the younger edge guys they did have, they wound up having to let go, like John Simon. I can't remember what team he plays for, but he's starting for them now. I wouldn't mind seeing him in the second round if a Nate Orchard falls down, taking a guy like him, because the guy has serious pass rush moves. He just has questions on whether he can defend the run.
All right, Rex, great job as always. We'll definitely be talking to you as the season progresses.
All right, thank you, Pod, and you have a great day.
And next up in the Superfan Super Mock Draft at pick number 27, the Dallas Cowboys. Their superfan is Brian Robinson. And Brian, according to Mel Kiper Jr., you can flip a coin between adding another pass rusher or adding a potential starter at cornerback. The pass rushers all went pretty early in this draft. You end up taking Marcus Peters, cornerback from Washington. So my guess is you're kind of happy about that.
Absolutely. The way the board fell, I thought at least two or three corners would be gone by now. Turns out only one corner is off the board. So I've got my pick of defensive backs that I can take. And I'm going with the one with the highest upside. Marcus Peters, big physical cornerback, can match up on the outside. I love his ball skills. The comp that I've been seeing from most people is that he's an Aqib Talib type. And that's exactly what the Cowboys need. With Orlando Scandrick being their number one right now, Brandon Carr's been a disappointment, Morris Claiborne's been a huge bust. We need another cornerback who can step in right away. Marcus Peters is going to be that guy. I know he's had some off-the-field issues. He was dismissed from the team in Washington. A good sign for me was that they invited him back for their pro day. He mended fences with head coach Chris Peterson. And I was thrilled with that with what he did there at the pro day. He just blew everyone out of the water. Looked fantastic. So I'm going with Marcus Peters. I love that high upside. Plug him in right away as our second cornerback.
Excellent. How do you hope the rest of the draft falls for the Cowboys?
Well, certainly, as you mentioned, we need a pass rusher. With Greg Hardy's suspension, we need a pass rusher anyway. That was going to be a main focus. So hopefully, later on down the board, we can find someone to plug in on that defensive line to give us some depth, put some pressure on the quarterback. And, of course, we're still going to go running back at some point. With Gordon and Gurley off the board right now, running back really wasn't even a consideration. But this is the deepest running back draft in years. So further on down the draft, we're going to be looking running backs for certain.
All right, that's Brian Robinson. We're going to be talking to you again somewhere down the line. Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, we're back here at number 28 with the Cincinnati Bengals, who threw the whole draft in a tizzy at number 21 by making that trade with the Denver Broncos. But honestly, English Simon, I think you've made quite possibly the value trade of the draft. I know there's been some other trades that had happened earlier in this draft, but seriously, you picked an offensive tackle in Ereck Flowers. You trade the player to the Broncos to end up getting the Broncos' first-round pick and then another third-round pick, and you still come away with a quality offensive tackle in Jake Fisher out of Oregon. It's honestly, it's Belichickian.
Well, someone said that I should be winning the war room for the Bengals. You know, I agree with him. I'd be a fantastic GM. But it was one of those deals where it was kind of sort of taken by surprise, really, that the Broncos fan wanted Flowers. And I was like, I was more than happy to make the trade. If you look at the guy that I got in the third round, Henry Anderson, the defensive end from Stanford, I'm very, very happy that I was able to get Anderson and Jake Fisher for that pick.
It's quite possibly one of the most brilliant moves I've seen out of any of the super fans. Now, most likely this scenario is not going to play out come Thursday, but I mean, for you, you made the pick of Ereck Flowers. So my guess is you're going to be happy either way.
I think so. I think looking upon sort of review of the players since we did the draft, I think I've been able to sort of look at the offensive tackles a bit more detail. And as you were seeing, Andres Pete went a couple of picks after mine, or maybe the next pick. And I'm probably a bigger fan of him than I am Flowers. But still, to get Fisher, get the extra pick, I was very, very happy to make that deal. Even potentially having, you know, DJ Humphreys, who was still available in the second round. You know, you can't really go wrong at the back end of the first round with the way that the draft went in this particular round. So I was very, very happy to make the move and get another pick for a player who I think will be very good for us at right tackle next season when Andre Smith's contract's up.
So we've joked a few times on previous podcasts that perhaps one of the real positions in need for the Bengals is at quarterback. I mean, that's a sort of joking, ha-ha, you know, elbow, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But, you know, what are some of the positions that you're hoping are addressed here by the Bengals as the rounds move on?
I think our needs are quite evident. I think you look at the way that we ended last year in the playoffs with basically a bunch of nobodies at wide receiver. That's an area of need. As I mentioned, Andre Smith's contract's at the end of the year, but also it's Andrew Whitworth's contract. And he, obviously, they're booking tackles. So that's an area of need. Tight end, we don't really have one beyond Tyler Eifert. So that's obviously another area of need. And also safety and corner, where we've had some depth in the last couple of years, but we've let a couple of players go at the cornerback position. And Reggie Nelson will be 32 next year, and his contract is also up. So those are the positions I think we'll be sort of looking at in this draft.
All right, English Simon. The move of the draft, clearly owning the other superfans, certainly owning the Denver Broncos superfan. Congratulations on a successful superfan super mock draft. And we will talk to you again as the season progresses.
Thanks, Jay. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, so this team had picked earlier in the draft, had traded down to make their first pick, have now traded back into the Superfan Super Mock Draft at pick 29. It's Andrew Hirsch and the New York Jets again. Andrew, you had talked about the value you had of trading down earlier on in this draft. What brings you back up?
Well, at number six, Kevin White was on the board to be taken, and I ended up trading down and taking Randy Gregory. And I'm sitting here with an extra third-round pick, and at number 29, Breshad Perriman is still on the board. And I just thought that's too good a value to be sitting there. And with this extra third-round pick that I got, I was able to trade back in. I ended up giving up my second-round pick, a 37 overall, and the 74th pick that I got from the Giants, and acquired the 29th overall pick and Indianapolis' third-round pick. So I came into the draft with a first, second, and a third, and I left with two firsts and a third and two thirds. So, I mean, it's sort of like I dare say a Belichickian move going on over here, that working the draft board and getting the prospects that you want. Granted, the guys that I ended up taking, Randy Gregory and Breshad Perriman, have really high ceilings, but are also, like, if you talk to draft analysts, are prospects who may bust. But I look at Breshad Perriman and I see a physical freak who apparently ran a 4.1 to 4.2 at his pro day, and played with really shoddy quarterback play at Central Florida, and yet he made a bunch of spectacular catches. A lot of people are talking about his drop rate. He dropped a lot of balls. Well, that doesn't take into account the passes that are thrown to him, the adjustments he has to make these catches. Some of the times he won't make them, some of the times he will make them. But the biggest reason I took Perriman was because you look at a receiver depth chart right now, it's Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, and Jeremy Curley, all very good players. But the one thing they don't have is a guy with blazing speed, right? So to take a guy like Perriman and just like have him be a deep threat his first year. He doesn't have to be a go-to guy. He could just take the top off the defense, and we could plug him in there in some sub packages and four wide receiver sets. So I believe right now Breshad Perriman is the number 10 guy on Mel Kiper's board, and to get him at number 29, I think that is a great value, and I'd be thrilled with the way the draft went if I was able to be the GM and if it went this way. Like I'd buy my Randy Gregory jerseys, I'd buy my Breshad Perriman jerseys. So listen up, Mike McCagnan. If there's no one there, if the quarterback's not there, number six, trade down, because you never know who could slip. And if someone slips, you could go back up and grab them. And that's what I did here with Breshad Perriman.
I will say it's a good move by you. My only concern here is you did just mention your wide receiver depth chart. You have three quality wide receivers right off the top. And then you add a rookie. Yes, he's a blazing speed guy, but having been a Patriots fan, I warn you about chasing speed. It's not all it's cracked up to be, unless that speed guy's name is Randy Moss. How are you hoping the rest of the draft falls for you?
Well, I the thing that I want in the draft is something that's usually easily filled. It's just a pass-catching running back who could come in on third downs, pass block, check down for Fitzpatrick or Geno, and be able to pick up a first down. Because right now, our running back depth chart, it's looking like Stephen Ridley and Chris Ivory, two very similar players who don't play on third downs, who are power backs, run between the tackles. And then we have Bilal Powell, who's a reliable pass blocker, a reliable pass catcher, but he doesn't really bring the explosive element to the game. So I would be looking for a running back like Duke Johnson or like Tevin Coleman, a guy like that in the mid rounds. And also, we need offensive linemen. We took Dakota Dozier last year in the fourth round. Hopefully he develops and is able to play this year. But just to bring in more offensive linemen to help protect the quarterback and to help run the ball, that's something I would be looking at.
All right, Andrew, we'll talk to you down the line. You're in my division, so I'll certainly be talking to you a few more times this year.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Pick number 30, it's the Green Bay Packers. And our Green Bay Packers superfan is Brian Slattery. You have gone with cornerback out of LSU, Jalen Collins. You know, one could argue probably one of the bigger position needs, but maybe even pass rusher. But at this point, it really isn't any pass rushers left on the board.
Yeah, no, unfortunately not. I was really kind of honing in. You know, I'm an amateur. I don't do scouting for a living. I don't think any of us really do. So I try to focus in on just a couple of positions that I think we might have a potential to draft early, or just kind of guys that I tend to like. So, you know, cornerback and inside linebacker, defensive line, those were kind of the areas of focus that I had. So I did kind of choose Jalen Collins. I was really debating between three players, you know, Collins. I really like Kevin Johnson's game an awful lot, too, and then also Eric Kendricks, that inside linebacker. So I did choose Collins over Johnson based pretty much entirely on potential. I definitely like Kevin Johnson's game today more, but I just think that the ceiling for Collins is considerably higher. You know, he's got all the tangibles he wants in a number one corner, the length and speed to play out wide, and he's big enough to help on a run support. That's not to say he's not without warts. I'm a little bit nervous that he's only started 10 games. But I will say that this is as much an endorsement of Darren Perry, our defensive backs coach, as anything else. Like, he's really molded some fine corners of much lesser pedigree into Pro Bowlers. You know, Tremont Williams and Sam Shields were both undrafted. And basically my thought was, you know, if you give Coach Perry someone with the potential of Collins, he'd be very happy after he's had a chance to mold them.
So you mentioned Eric Kendricks, inside linebacker. What are some of the other positions that you're hoping fall to you here in the draft?
Yeah, so like I said, he was one of the players that I considered at pick 30, and it's definitely an area I consider that probably our most pressing need is inside linebacker. We talked a little bit about how we got rid of a lot of the depth we had there from previous years, A.J. Hawk, Brad Jones, even Jamari Lattimore to a point. Those were all guys who had logged a lot of snaps for us, and they were, you know, they were adequate is how I would best describe them. So we kind of blew up the position, got rid of all of them, and that leaves us very untested. You know, we have Sam Barrington, who was kind of a mixed bag last year. And the only other inside linebacker that I think we have on our roster is a completely untested Carl Bradford. So I did think long and hard about picking Kendricks, but ultimately opted against it because, I don't know, from my research, there are about four or five inside linebackers, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consensus. Kendricks' name comes up first most often, but it's not like other positions where there's a clear one or two and then everybody else. And so by the time pick 30 rolled around, and none of the other inside linebackers had been picked at that time. And so I thought, you know, by the time round two comes around, maybe one of those guys is still sitting there for me.
All right. That's the Green Bay Packers, ladies and gentlemen. Brian, we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Pick number 31, the Super Bowl losers, Seattle Seahawks, have traded out of the first round. And coming back in, it's our good friend Chase Malay from New Orleans. And with the Saints, you've picked inside linebacker out of UCLA, Eric Kendricks.
Well, the pick was Jimmy Graham and our fourth for Unger, who should help our running game out pretty significantly this year, and the number 31 pick. I think we're going to stand by what Sean Payton said, and we're going to try to outfit our defense to be successful this year. And besides pass rusher, which we addressed at number 13 with Shane Ray, the biggest need that's kind of going under the radar a little bit in the national media, at least, is inside linebacker. We got rid of Lofton. We have David Hawthorne coming back, and it's widely understood that it'll be him and Danell Ellerby, who we picked up in the Kenny Stills trade, as the starters. But what a lot of Saints fans want to see is they want to see us with Luke Kuechly, Thomas Davis, one of those really athletic inside linebackers who's in on all the plays, can cover, which is one of Eric Kendricks' biggest strengths at the position, and help out against the run. And to see Kendricks there at 31, the value is there. It feels a big need on defense, and now we've upgraded both linebacker positions with our first two picks, and that sets us up pretty good going into the later parts of the draft.
My guess, cornerback has been listed as a need for you. If Jalen Collins out of LSU wasn't picked right before you with the Green Bay Packers, my guess is maybe you would have thought about it?
that would have definitely given me a moment of pause. I kind of like the depth at cornerback, especially what could possibly be sitting there at pick 12 in the second round. We could also, on top of a guy on the outside, a nickelback is really, I would say, our third or fourth biggest need. Kyle Wilson from the Jets, who is really just not much more than a Patrick Robinson clone from everything I gather from him. And a guy like Quentin Rollins or Ronald Darby or Eric Rowe from Utah, even Ifo Okpara-Olamu from Oregon, who I'm super high on. Any of those guys would be good in the second round. And I don't think we would take that big a step back because Collins has only played a handful of games, maybe 10 or 11 games in college. But, I mean, overall, I'm happy with the pick. I think I would have taken Kendricks regardless. He feels what I feel is one of the biggest needs on defense, and that particular position should help just as much against the run as it does against the pass, and that's something that our defense can definitely use. And it injects a lot of athleticism into that position group, which we've lacked for a very long time, and we're envious of seeing – our rivals, the Panthers, having their guys flying around the field. It's time for us to have a guy like that.
So you've addressed your defense, especially your starting linebackers. Any other position that you're hoping falls to you at some point later on in the draft?
I definitely think defensive tackle is a need. Broderick Buckley came back with a pay cut, but when he was out, John Jenkins just wasn't really there to step in. I think a tackle would help out the pass rush pretty significantly. Other than that, like you said, cornerback is a big need. Guard to take, at least compete with Tim Lolito and eventually take Evans' spot, or even possibly a guy that can move to right tackle later on. Although I know the later in the draft, the more unlikely that's going to be to fall to us. Cover that, I think I've come around, and we could really use a young receiver, especially with Colston nearing the end of his career, and Nick Toon is actually a free agent this year. So that wouldn't be maybe a Kenny Bale from Oklahoma later in the draft. We've had a lot of success recently with third, fourth, fifth round receivers. But I think this is a pretty strong way to start the draft, and I would definitely be happy at the end of the first round with these upgrades.
All right, Chase, we'll certainly be talking to you a little bit later down the season.
All right, thank you, Bud. Have a good one, man.
All right, and rounding out the first round of the Superfan Super Mock Draft is the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. While many of you think that I am the Superfan, that is not correct. The official New England Patriots Superfan is Patrick Siska, and you, sir, have chosen for our team the defensive tackle out of Florida State, Eddie Goldman. Definitely a position of need.
Definitely a position of need. Not necessarily the top position of need. That would be offensive guard on my board anyway. But in terms of value, I'm really asking myself, you know, what do I want to do in the first round? I want to get a player that can make a potential impact, a potential early round or early day starter who can come in and contribute right away. And almost as importantly, who do I want the team – you know, in year five, we're going to get a fifth-year option. There are those that would say that ahead of defensive tackle is cornerback. I'm inclined to agree that is probably a bigger individual need. But when you look back at the Patriots draft history over the last decade or so, you see a whole lot of cornerbacks chosen and not a whole lot of them still on the team after 4 years. So do I really want to burn another first-round pick or second-round pick, third-round pick on a corner? Probably not. Call me disillusioned, but I'm tired of seeing guys that show a lot of promise in year one, regress in year two, compete for a roster spot in year three, and get bounced off the team in year four. And I certainly don't want to do that in the first round.
I agree, with the exception of the offensive line. I think offense is set for the New England Patriots. I'm not worried about the running back position. I think they have
Great prospects at the running back position. They're all set there. At wide receiver, every year we hear this. Every year, the Patriots have a need at wide receiver. They have a need at wide receiver. Every year, the Patriots miss on whoever it is that they pick at wide receiver. And honestly, I think that the position and the players that they have there right now are going to do just fine. They won the Super Bowl with the wide receivers that they have on the team now. I'm not too worried about the wide receiver position. Obviously, quarterback, you have the best guy who's ever played in the NFL, according to some.
Yeah, a bit of a bold statement, but I agree.
And he's not going anywhere. I feel very comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo from the little that we've seen of him. I think that he'll do just fine stepping in for Brady if necessary. Certainly quarterback isn't going to be a position they're going to address in the first round of this draft anyway. So offensive line is a definite need. I think where we're really looking, though, and I think where you've really addressed it, is that we have never seen this defense without that big guy in the middle. And Vince Wilfork being gone, I think, is going to hurt this team more than people realize. And
I completely agree.
And I think Belichick might have one of those moments where he thinks he's smarter than everyone else. And I'm not so sure that I believe that much in Alan Branch and some of the other guys that they've brought in. They definitely need a big body in the middle. But what I'm really concerned about is the lack of that big body and the lack of depth at linebacker. Linebacker this year has really got me concerned.
I agree with you on linebacker, and I realize that we drafted a defensive tackle in the first round last year, and people might forget about that because he didn't play a whole lot this year.
But he's not a big body. He's not a big space.
He's not
either.
A big body. No, he's a gap shooter, and that's great. We could use a disruptive force in the middle, but when you're thin on the defensive front, in general, and you're especially thin at linebacker, what you don't need is the line getting pushed forward on you constantly because you don't have a 320-pounder that can two-gap. And, I mean, that's what Goldman is. Like, is he Warren Sapp? No, he's not Warren Sapp, not even a little bit. But he can keep two guys from trying to bum-rush and overpower our middle linebacker. And in the first couple of weeks of the season, that's a serious concern. Maybe that abates a little bit in, you know, the middle of the season when guys get healthy. But what's not going to happen is all of a sudden we're going to have six healthy middle linebackers like halfway through the year. It's going to continue to be a problem throughout the year, most likely. So let's get out in front of it by putting a big guy up front that can keep their jerseys clean.
The other position that I think is going to be a huge need, and it is a huge need, is cornerback. We let the best corner in the league go. We got rid of the second guy who, you know, one could argue what his true value was to this team. I mean, he was the most penalized man on the defense by a long shot. I mean, cornerback is definitely going to be a position the Patriots have to address at some point. And one thing we know about Belichick, he likes to move. He has the picks to move, and he's going to try and probably move up to the beginning of day two, that being the second round.
Possibly. It depends on where the value is and who's still on the board, obviously. And yes, corner is a discernible need. And I would also argue that so is strong safety. We just spent a lot of money on Devin McCourty, and that's great. And hopefully he can cover half the field, but he can't cover the entire deep middle of the field. He's not Ed Reed. So that means, you know, your second safety becomes a bigger issue. And we got away with Patrick Chung playing back there last year, and people thought that he had a resurgence. Maybe. Or, you know, maybe our corners were good enough that he didn't really have to do a whole lot in coverage, and we were able to get by with him. That goes away now. That goes away. You lose your two starting corners, both of whom were very good. You know, penalties notwithstanding, they're both good cover guys. You lose both of them, you're probably switching from man to zone. You're probably going to see more guys flooding the zone deep because Chung can't defend it. So what do you do back there at strong safety? And this is a terrible draft class for safeties. So my concern there, and again, just being a poor pessimistic Patriots fan with a bunch of rings, is that Bill Belichick is going to fall in love with some low-level college non-combined invitee at safety and draft him in round two again.
Well, I mean, the one thing we know about our team and why I love this particular
experiment that we do every year with the super fans is that there's no way in the world Bill Belichick is going to do what we want him to do.
That's true. And I'm gonna curse his name for it in April, and then come next November, I'll feel really stupid and say that he knows better than me. And I'm going to do the whole same thing again, again, and again.
All right, Patrick. Well, let's enjoy our Super Bowl. It's going to be a tough road for them to repeat. But, you know, one thing we do know is they're going to be contenders when it comes playoff time.
That's the truth.
All right. So as you can tell, we haven't spoken with all the super fans during these 32 picks. Some of them traded out of the first round. And of course, the Bills didn't have a first round pick, or if they did, they traded out. Who knows? Let me start over. My God. It wasn't this bad yesterday, I promise. So as you may have heard, you didn't hear all of the super fans. Some of them traded out of the first round, and I'm joined right now by Dan Kester. He is the Colts super fan. He traded with the Jets at pick number 29. So I guess, Dan, the question is, what led you to trade out of the first round?
I think the big reason behind trading out is we have a big group of guys that were still available there that were pretty equal from a talent standpoint. So I wanted to move down and see if I could either move up or get a few more picks. So I was able to trade down into the early second round. Still got the guy I would have targeted at the end of the first round. And then we swapped third round picks too. So I was able to move up 20 some spots in the third round to get the back end tier of that next talent gap, in my opinion. So traded down to acquire an additional higher level talent.
So essentially it was all about value for you.
Yes, it was all about the value.
All right. Where do you see the Colts' biggest needs heading into this draft?
I think the biggest need is definitely defensive oriented along the defensive line. As you and many others are aware, the Patriots were able to slam the ball down the Colts' throat. So if they can beef up the middle of the defense through the defensive line, as well as maybe solidify some linebackers that can come up and make the play, those are probably the biggest needs. Making sure to get value for that is pretty important too. I wouldn't think they should just draft the best defensive tackle available because he's the next guy up. So offensive side of the ball, I think the biggest need is running back. They addressed that in free agency with Frank Gore, but he's a little bit older, so hopefully they can find one of the running backs from this deep running back class to be the running back of the future.
All right. Well, that sounds fantastic. I still wonder, though, if you may have missed out on helping out your defensive line. I know our Patriot superfan, we just spoke with him, you know, picked Eddie Goldman, the defensive tackle from Florida State. He was certainly available at number 29.
He was indeed. I think there were a couple of guys you could have gone with along the defensive line there, specifically to the Colts. They have a couple of guys that are looking at rotating at nose tackle, so I didn't want to necessarily jump into nose tackle when there are a couple other spots that were still available that were basically what I considered equal value for the next four or five picks.
All right. Well, that's Dan Kester. He is the Colts super fan. I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you as the season progresses.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jack.
Guys, one of the teams that didn't have a first round pick were the Buffalo Bills. I'm now joined by a couple of our super fans, Sam, our Giants super fan, Tom, our Bears super fan, and of course, English Simon from across the pond, as we talk about the Bills and how they hope the draft rounds out. According to Mel Kiper, one of their biggest needs, the Buffalo Bills, would be quarterback, guard, inside linebacker, safety. I mean, they traded an inside linebacker to get their running back. Certainly the offensive line is always a place that can be improved. Just ask any of the 32 NFL teams. Quarterback, though, is interesting because they acquired Matt Castle through free agency. And I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft that's any better than Matt Castle. What do you think about that, Tom?
I would agree that there is no quarterback in this draft better than Matt Cass right now. And if you drafted a quarterback in this slot, you'd be looking for somebody that would basically be a backup for a year, and you'd hope they developed. And there are three or four guys, I think, that you could argue you could take here and then just keep them as a developmental prospect. Garrett Grayson's one. He's one I really like. Bryce Petty's pretty highly ranked as well. It's debatable. It might be a little high for a quarterback by most people's reckoning. And certainly nobody's going to be better than Castle. You're not drafting anyone to start over him, at least this year.
I mean, Sam, you're well-versed in Rex Ryan there in New York. What do you think Rex's biggest obstacles will be in Buffalo?
I think Rex just changed cities in New York, but he took the same problems with him. That defense has some talent on it, and Rex obviously always gets the most out of his defenses. So I'm not as worried about that side of the ball, even after the Kiko Alonso trade. But he's in a situation again where he doesn't really have a starting quarterback. And if you look at the moves that the Bills have made over the past years, the trade up for Sammy Watkins last year and then signing Castle this year, they're just not in line. Watkins is a big downfield threat, and from what I've watched from Castle, he really doesn't have a great deep ball. So you're handcuffing the guy you picked last year by taking away his biggest skill by not providing him a quarterback that really fits his needs. So I kind of find just the moves interesting. I mean, it is when you make big moves the year before and you bring in a new coach that may not have the same beliefs that you had when you made those moves, it kind of leaves the front office and the coaching staff in flux. So I just think that in this draft, they have to really, in the later rounds, just target a lot of offensive skill, because while Rex will get 100% out of the defense, I feel he gets about 75-80% of his offensive percent of utilizes 75-80% of his offensive talent.
Simon, you have a team that you've joked needs a new quarterback. Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager, said in a Tuesday radio appearance, this would be last Tuesday, it's a make or break year for EJ Manuel. I mean, again, assessing some of these late round quarterbacks, I don't even know if there's a quarterback that's better than EJ Manuel in this draft.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think that there are probably guys who are potentially better, as Tom pointed out. I think you look at Garrett Grayson, but then still you have to wait for them to develop. And, you know, at that same time, EJ Manuel could develop into a serviceable quarterback. But, yeah, as we've all pointed out, their quarterback situation is not ideal. And I would say this, that until Rex finds a quarterback that he can sort of let run the offense, he won't have any success in the NFL, in my opinion, because that's ultimately where games are decided. And I know, in the playoffs, you can't get away with mediocre quarterback play, and that kind of is what Buffalo has right now, and I can't see them getting any better through the draft as well.
Well, folks, there you go. That's our breakdown of the Buffalo Bills. None of us are real experts on the Bills. If you want to be the Bills super fan, email us nextfanup@gmail.com. I think we're going to have a lot of openings moving forward for super fans. So you're going to want to get in touch with us on email, Twitter, Facebook, all those places. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
One last team to talk about here in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, and that is the team that lost in the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks. They traded out of pick number 31, gave that pick up basically for Jimmy Graham. So you could say Jimmy Graham was their first-round pick this year. Jared, our Rams superfan, joins us now. What are your thoughts here on the defending NFC champions?
Well, I think the one thing good about being the Seahawks superfan is you can pick just about any player, and you can't rule out the way with how John Snyder's been picking. Although he has had a lot of success, he's very unconventional. But I mean, I think I kind of like their trade in terms of the Seahawks getting a talent like Jimmy Graham, because they hardly use their first round picks anyway. They usually either trade back or they trade it like they did with Percy Harvin, or a lot of their recent first round picks have been kind of misses. So I think they got good value because they don't value first round picks like other teams. And it's going to be scary to see them playing with Jimmy Graham and along with Beast Mode and Russell Wilson. So I think they got good value. In terms of their pick, I think the first pick they got was Trey McBride, the wide receiver out of William & Mary. You could definitely see wide receiver as a need because of even drafting Paul Richardson, who got hurt last year. Even if he was healthy, they definitely need a wide receiver. And when they took Trey McBride, even Mark, the super fan, said, maybe it's a little early, but he really liked his talent and thought he's a nice big receiver on the outside. And I'd argue, I think Tyler Lockett was still on the board at that time, and he's more of a slot player. And I think the Seahawks just wanted a big wide receiver on the outside that they could throw the ball up to in critical situations. Like, you're very familiar with Todd, the last play they had in the Super Bowl on offense, they probably could have used a big wide receiver on the outside to throw the ball up to. I mean, now they have Graham too, but they could definitely use another weapon.
You know, funny that you mentioned that last offensive play by the Seahawks in that Super Bowl. As a Patriot fan, the Three Games to Glory DVD is coming out soon, and they actually show the Patriots practicing that specific play and Malcolm Butler getting beat in practice on that specific play. So it's everything about that play just turned out wrong for the Seahawks, and they didn't even know that it was that the Patriots were ready and waiting for it. It's sort of some interesting insights there. The Seahawks, how do you feel about the Seahawks going into next season, however they end up drafting? Do you feel, are you still a little worried about them? You still think they're going to be the team to beat in the NFC?
I think them or the Packers definitely a team to beat in the NFC. I mean, they do. It's funny. They're a great team. They've been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years, but looking at their draft needs and besides wide receiver, I mean, they could definitely use help on the offensive line. I mean, I know they lost Max Unger in the trade to the Saints, and also James Carpenter left in free agency. So, and even before that, their line was pretty bad. So they definitely, I feel like a lot of it will depend on how well they do in this draft, because they definitely need a couple pieces on the offensive line. And also even the secondary, I mean, they had some injuries in the Super Bowl, and once their starters got injured, I mean, their backups were just absolutely torched, and they lost a couple guys in free agency too. So I think this is a real critical draft for the Seahawks. I think they need to address their offensive line and also get some key backups in their secondary. I mean, that being said, they have a ton of all pro top talent players. So, but they definitely need some depth, and even starters for when injuries inevitably happen.
All right, Jared, you're our Rams super fan. We'll be hearing more from you as the season progresses. Thanks for filling in here.
All right, thanks, Todd. Anytime.
So that'll do it for the super fan super mock draft. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have questions, comments, concerns, email us. NextFanUp@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at NFU Podcast or Facebook. That's where you're going to see all these picks printed out for you to look over and observe whenever you want. We are NextFanUp on Facebook, or you can go to Facebook.com/NFU Podcast. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter at TheRealPodVader. There'll be more to come. I will have our first draft reaction on Saturday. Tune in then. Folks, there you have it.